Diana Henriquez was the first journalist to interview Bernie Madoff in prison. Was there ever a moment when you were sitting with him in the interview and he's looking into your eyes and you think, okay, I'm drinking the Kool-Aid. I can feel myself getting sucked into this manipulation.
There was a moment that I reflect on with humor. I was asking him a lot of questions. I could hear the clock ticking in my head. I had only 2 hours for this interview.
Madoff starts to digress, says Henriquez, taking great pains to explain a rather arcane investment strategy that she already understands. She nods hurriedly, thinks about the ticking clock, and tries to push Madoff to answer her original question.
And he looked at his lawyer with this marvelously grateful look and said, oh, it's such a pleasure to deal with someone who really knows the markets.
It was a deft little compliment, she says, but alerted to that tendency, she watched for those moments when Madoff would drop what she calls honey on her tongue.
Letting me know that he thought I was the most intelligent, trustworthy, knowledgeable journalist he'd ever dealt with. And you know, Rachel, I knew he was a liar and a fraud, and it still felt good.
And that's lesson number one about Ponzi schemers. There's a misguided notion that they'll show up sporting horns, pointed tail, or obvious psychopathic traits, says Henriquez. The misplaced confidence that comes with the erroneous sense that con men are eminently identifiable is part of what allows them to perpetrate the con.
Before the music stops, every single successful Ponzi schemer was an admired, respected, trusted person. Because if they hadn't been, they wouldn't have been able to lure you into a Ponzi scheme in the first place.
Henriquez calls Ponzi schemes and schemers the cockroaches of crime because of their continuing prevalence. In the aftermath of Madoff's arrest, 150 Ponzi schemes collapsed over the next year and a half, according to Henriquez.
What we don't know is how many are going strong today that haven't collapsed yet. Ponzi schemers have learned a lot from the Madoff scandal. They've learned that if you set up a Ponzi scheme that doesn't promise sky-high returns, it pays you just a nice, steady return. Not only will you disarm people's suspicions, but the cash that you raise from new investors goes a lot further.
Which brings us to lesson number two.
As a good friend of mine, a fraud analyst, told me, if it sounds too good to be true, you're dealing with an amateur. Because gifted Ponzi schemers not only have a gift to make them trust you, but they also know never to make it sound too good to be true to the audience they're pitching it to.
The federal government could strengthen investor protection, says Henriquez. But until there's substantial regulatory change, Henriquez is a passionate advocate for investor education.
My nightmare, Rachel, frankly, is that right out there, right now, in today's very low interest rate environment, which is punishing savers who can't make a good return on their savings, someone's going to come forward to your listeners and say, look, I've got this really safe, low-risk, short-term bond fund. Doesn't pay a lot, just 2.5%, 3%, but it's really safe, and a lot of people you know and admire are investing there, and it's a lot better than what you're making in your money market fund right now. And you're going to fall for it.
There are people who escaped Madoff, not because they suspected he was a crook, but because they had sensible rules about investing that they stuck with, even when they were tempted to waive them for Madoff. Rachel Lewis Hilburn, WHQR News.